It's time for our regular RNIB campaigns monthly update, and a bit of a special one today. We're going to be looking at the autumn budget as well. The guys are all waiting with us. Shameen, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Alan. Yeah, as you said, we've got Rhys, who is our public affairs officer, and he's going to break down what we heard in the autumn budget. And then also Ross and Rhys will be talking about our event that we held in Parliament that quite a lot of our supporters helped us invite their MPs too.
Okay, well, let's start with that budget announcement as well. Was it a big one? Was it what people were expecting or hoping for? Rhys, we're going to break this down into a few topics, if you like, but I think we should start with cost of living. That's probably quite a high one on people's agenda at the moment.
Yes, it really is. So this budget is the statement that the Chancellor makes to MPs in the House of Commons. So this is presenting some of the government's plans around the economy, things like its changes to taxation, to spending and to borrowing. And this really was the budget I think they tried to sell as the cost of living budget. So they announced a number of measures looking to make life easier for people, including things like taking money off your energy bills. They're hopeful that the changes they made will take around £150 off your energy bills. And in addition to that as well, the blind person's allowance has been uprated as well. I think it's still to be seen in terms of whether these changes will sort of match up to the scale of the additional costs that we know blind and partially sighted people face every day from running assistive tech or needing more heating or lighting. But nevertheless, I think this is what the government is trying to frame it as a budget of helping people with the cost of living.
Another big topic, of course, is health. Any big announcements there? I know some of that is obviously devolved to some of the other nations as well.
Yes. So on health, I think the government is looking to build on the 10-year health plan. So they have announced 250 new neighbourhood health centres, of which 120 are aimed to be delivered by 2030. So this is all about trying to bring healthcare closer to you and into the community. Again, light on the detail exactly of what this means at this stage. And we would, of course, argue for all of these centres to be truly accessible and obviously as part of a suite of options for people to access healthcare alongside what is already available through things like accessing your GP. Also on health, it's worth saying some of the bigger announcements were around freezing NHS prescription charges for the next year. And also there's investment as well in tech, so science, tech and life sciences, things like research and medicines. What is noticeable, though, on health and social care is the total absence of any real mention of the government's plan for adult social care. We are expecting, obviously, through Baroness Casey's commission, an interim report next year with some proposals on the government's plans for adult social care. But again, we're yet to see any real detail on whether that will include any measures for reablement services, obviously including vision rehabilitation. So we would love to see some further detail on that, because we know that too many blind and partially sighted people are being left without the support they need to live independently following their sight loss.
Some, I suppose, tentatively positive improvements in some of those areas, like you say, in health and in cost of living support as well, but still ones to watch. That big one, of course, around adult social care. What about welfare? That's always a bit of a hot topic.
Yeah, so I think the big headline announcement in this autumn budget was around the lifting of the two-child benefit cap, which has been trailed in the press for a number of weeks before the budget. Around the edges, the government has, as you'd hope, uplifted the basic rate of universal credit, although we do know, as announced last spring, that cuts will be made to the health element of universal credit for new claimants from April 2026. There were some positive elements there as well, though. The government is taking its time to think about the future of PIP, personal independence payment, with Stephen Timms' review. So there are no significant changes there following on from the debate earlier in the spring. But they are considering things like extending the review periods, so fewer less frequent assessments depending on need, and also ideas around increasing the number of face-to-face assessments. Again, I think that's something we'd be concerned about, and would insist that, again, the choice is there in terms of what kind of assessments would be most appropriate based on your need.
So again, there are some positives in there that we could look forward to, but perhaps a bit light on detail at the moment, and some big omissions as well. What was this a standout thing for you, or the standout omission? What would that be?
In this occasion, adult social care is the elephant in the room in terms of when you look at what local authorities are really struggling with in terms of managing their own individual budgets as well. And we know from our Life on Pause report, of course, that there is a real postcode lottery at the minute in terms of how long people are having to wait for the support they need. And we know too many people, unfortunately, are losing their independence, falling out of work, are at greater risk of things like accidents and mental health crises. So we'll be continuing to campaign for the government to release further details on their plans for adult social care. So there's some of the headlines from this autumn budget. Of course, we're still digesting all this news, but there'll be a full analysis on RNIB's website.
Thanks so much, Rhys. We'll keep people up to date on that, of course. Now, Ross was one of the attendees at the Westminster event in Parliament. Our very own Hubert Pavelkovich was there reporting and talking to a lot of the MPs there. Ross, it sounded like a very busy occasion, but just remind us what this whole event was all about.
Myself and Rhys were both at the event with other RNIB colleagues, and yeah, Rhys just then touched on Vision Rehab and the Life on Pause report that RNIB released in October. So this parliamentary event was themed on that campaign on vision rehabilitation. So we invited sort of MPs and their staff and peers to a room at Portcullis House in Westminster, where we had sort of a series of stalls set up around the room, all designed to sort of inform and sort of shed some light on what vision rehab is as a service and how it can transform the lives of blind and partially sighted people who access it. But obviously, you know, also highlighting the findings from that report as well about the postcode lottery of provision and sort of real inconsistency of service that people are having across the country.
I suppose a lot of the MPs who are there, I suppose it brought a lot home to them, perhaps helped them focus on their own constituency, geographical area, what support is there, what could be done better, what needs to be looked at urgently and so on.
At the event, we were able to give out personalised briefings for MPs, which sort of contained data for their constituency and sort of information about vision rehab provision in the local authority areas that cover their constituencies. But MPs sort of turn up to these events for a range of reasons. Obviously, some have personal connections to sight loss. Others, obviously, are rightfully concerned for their constituents. But others as well turned up because they have been directly invited by their constituents too. So we owe really a massive thank you to all the RNIB supporters and Connect Radio listeners that invited their MP to this event. We actually had over 4,600 emails sent in the end via a template letter that we were running, which is a record for us on an event like this. So I think all but one MP in Parliament received at least one invitation to the event, which is fantastic.
So a range of topics are being discussed. What kind of things were the MPs introduced to as they went round the room?
Yeah, so we had various stations, and like I said earlier, one of the main goals of the event was to inform MPs about the difference that vision rehab can make to blind and partially sighted people. I mean, I've received rehab myself, so I know it firsthand, but a lot of MPs sort of wouldn't have heard about the service before. So we had stations covering the data and information from our recent report, but we also had three stations that each focused on a different aspect of independent living that rehab can support with. So one of those was around mobility and getting around, where we had RNIB staff, volunteers and vision rehabilitation specialists sort of demonstrating the different types of canes and talking about the importance of mobility training. We had another stall focused on how vision rehab can enable somebody to get into and stay in work. So talking about sort of assistive tech and all the sorts of little gadgets and gizmos that we all use on a day-to-day basis that, you know, some people might not know about if it wasn't for specialist rehab support. And we also talked as well at another station about independent living in the home, doing things like cooking and, yeah, demonstrated things like liquid level indicators and talking skills and bump on stickers and, yeah, all of those kind of little adjustments that somebody might get as a result of an assessment by a rehab officer. So it was quite an engaging event to be out with, yeah, lots of different activities for MPs to get involved with, which they did.
Fantastic. Those little changes that can make a massive difference. And of course, the massive changes that we need in terms of vision rehabilitation. Hubert was at the event. If you want to listen to lots of the interviews, him talking to some of the MPs and some of the RNIB guys there, if you do podcasts, go to your podcast provider, search for RNIB Connect Radio, and you can have a listen in. Shameen, we're almost out of time. If people would like more information on what we've been talking about, the budget, the event, or you know, any of the campaigns involved in at the moment, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, people can always email us at campaigns@rnib.org.uk. If phone's more your thing, you can call helpline on 0303 123 9999. We post regularly online our news items, so you can find them at rnib.org.uk/news, and you can filter the topics by campaigning so that you can just see what we're talking about. And lastly, you can follow us on X, where our handle is @RNIB_campaigns. But we are also on Blue Sky, where you can find us at rnibcampaigns.bsky.social. And as Rhys mentioned earlier, we will be posting a full breakdown of what we've taken away from today's budget announcement on one of those news items that I just mentioned.
Thanks, Shameen. That wraps up things for today. Do get in touch with the guys if you have any questions on that, and look out for that more in-depth report on the RNIB website as well on those budget responses. For one moment, though, to Ross, to Shameen and to Rhys, thanks to all of you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.